I do hear a, if not repentant, at least responsive city government that says, we understand. We didn't just get jumped on. We had some reasons we got jumped on, and we're going to fix them. That's where you need to be.
State Senator Baxley, Chairman Baxley, over the auditing committee in the response to the Gulf Breeze audit that was completed last September, and then they heard the presentation of the audit and the response by Mayor Terry Fitch and Administrator Sam Abel on Thursday. I watched all of that meeting and read most of the actual audit and the responses to it. It was very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. Joining us now, I have my own take on this, but I'm curious to get somebody else's. Alex Andrade, he is a state representative for District 2. That includes Gulf Breeze, also Pensacola Beach, and the southern half of Escambia County. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. You are a well-trained professional municipal lawyer. What was your read of the audit results? The actual audit came back in September, but the presentation was on Thursday. Any comments? Because, it wasn't requested by you. Obviously, it was requested by Senator Broxson. It was before you were in office, I think. But any thoughts on the audit?
Oh, yeah. Any audit like this is going to go back. You always hear hindsight's 2020. I don't have to be an apologist for some of the decisions that were made, 6 years ago or close to a decade ago in some circumstances. But, every now and then a good pair of fresh eyes looking at how Gulf Breeze manages its the CTA and the Gulf Breeze Finance, board and whether or not the decision to buy a golf course at the city was a good decision it's good to have a fresh pair of eyes on it. And ultimately the findings were nothing criminal occurred, nothing inappropriate occurred. They could have done it better, and they got recommendations to do it better. And I don't think that an encouragement for more transparency, more openness in government, and more willingness to enfranchise people that live outside of the city of Gulf Breeze but receive services from Gulf Breeze is a bad thing.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. In fact, the issue of annexing Tiger Point, for example, to bring it in the city since they're supplying water to that, that makes a lot of sense to me. One way or the other. If the city's going to provide a municipal service, but people, if they're not voting members within that municipal boundary, that's a basic problem. You want either or, right? You want them to be in the boundary and be able to vote, or you want them not getting the services if they can't vote. Do you think that's a realistic outcome of this, that we're going to have an expansion of the city limits?
I don't know. Those are questions that will have to get handled by the city council and the mayor. And it also have to be a question answered by the people outside the city about whether or not they want it.
Right.
We don't have a shortage of, if you remember the Okaloosa gas issues and everything else, we don't have a shortage of complex municipal representative issues here in Northwest Florida this year, from the ECUA on down.
Yeah, no, I agree, and we'll talk about that in a second. And I also thought their observation that having these complicated, interconnecting, interlayered organizations like SURS and Gulf Breeze Capital Trust and all of that's sort of inherently problematic. If we could clean that up, that would be a better thing. You brought it up, so I'll bring it up as well. The ECUA bill, Michelle Salzman, Representative Salzman, had this bill on schedule. It had been approved by you guys when you did your vote here at the legislative hearings, and it was going to work towards creating term limits was, I thought, the primary, but there were some other things involved in it. The bill's now been pulled. I had people asking me actually over the weekend about this. I should probably call Michelle, but do you know what's going on with this bill?
So before the delegation meeting, there was an analysis done of some of the proposals in there. One of them that was a big concern for me was a wholesale change in how ECUA purchases products and services. There was nothing in the grand jury report related to products and services issues, and the analysis said that it would have increased costs and decreased transparency and oversight for my constituents. And so I asked that it be pulled before the bill get heard at our delegation meeting. The section on procurement was pulled. We voted on a clean bill that just had term limits and then technical fixes that would actually make ECUA more efficient and ultimately, hopefully, cheaper for my constituents. But when the bill was filed after the delegation meeting, this procurement language made its way back in. I brought it up to the bill sponsor, Representative Salzman, and asked her to amend it out at the first committee stop it would have been assigned to. 2 days later, the bill is dead, and I have not received an adequate explanation as to why.
Okay, so there was a section on procurement, and I've looked over the response by J. Bruce Woody, the executive director, to that section and why he thinks it would require hiring of numerous positions, it would add tremendous cost, and might even wind up reducing accountability because of some of the measures. I've read his response. It's very thorough. So you objected to that element of the bill. She had pulled that from the bill that you voted on at the legislative delegation meeting. It was a clean bill on term limits, and now it had been filed with a version of the procurement back in place, and now the bill's been pulled. And because, I mean, I'm a little bit stunned at all this. I don't understand.
Neither do I. I didn't ask that anything else get changed. I just said bring it back to the bill that we approved at the delegation meeting.
Sure.
That's what was publicly noticed. That's what was publicly discussed. It was term limits, and then it was several small technical fixes that ECUA needed to update the special act and work more efficiently. This was a good government bill that would have reduced costs for my constituents to use ECUA in my district. So I don't understand the need to pull it, especially when the vast majority of the Sambians support term limits. I'm not sure why we would eliminate a bill that supported term limits in this context.
There was one weird element, if I read it right, you correct me if I'm wrong, the term limits would have been retroactive also. Like, if you are already on the board for the two terms, that would disqualify you, right? It wasn't just going forward.
That was an initial proposal that felt very targeted towards some specific board members who'd picked off some people here in town. I'd requested that the term limits just be term limits going forward. I didn't care if there were 8-year term limits or 12-year term limits. I just said that, no, we should not be the hatchet men for different feuds here in town. If you support term limits as a policy, you should not target them towards any specific board member. And so the bill that came through the delegation meeting was just a term limits proposal going forward.
Okay.
So it would not have been retroactive in the bill that we approved at the delegation meeting.
Okay, so that was an initial one. Fair enough, which I agree with. I mean, that makes much more sense to me. Alex, we're off this week, or you're off this week from committee. It's the week before session. So I think the expression you used for me with me one time was, you're getting your affairs in order. Which is a funny way to put it. But okay. Obviously, since you and I last talked on last Monday, we had this FDOT presentation where they announced that the plan was to have the bridge reopen with two lanes, effective overall flow through by the end of March, and then Memorial Day for everything, including the roundabout and the four lanes. Your thoughts on that? Are you satisfied with that as a kind of an alternate to get traffic flowing?
Well, of course I'm not satisfied. I'd be satisfied if the bridge were repaired and we were on schedule for the second span. But I think two lanes with a guaranteed opening date to traffic before the end of March gives a lot of people hope. And so the focus just remains on keeping the tolls on Garcon Point lifted until we get the full four lanes back on Three Mile Bridge. So since we've been doing since September, I'm bugging the governor's office just to make sure that that Governor DeSantis continues to keep that toll lifted on Garcon Point.
Until four lanes.
Until we get four lanes back and we reestablish our traffic capacity on Three Mile Bridge. But I think two lanes on Three Mile gives a lot of people hope. I'm knocking on wood that it gets opened on that week of March 22nd.
All right, very good. Related to that, something that I brought up earlier this morning, a couple weeks ago, Jeff Bergosh, Commissioner Bergosh, raised the issue out of his frustrations with Nine Mile, among other things, that FDOT just is not responsive, does not have enough performance metrics, is not held accountable. It's just the $83 billion pound gorilla in Tallahassee. And so I raised the question, well, what if we made it an elected position? What if the Secretary of Transportation was directly accountable to the people every 4 years or even every 2 years, and we could really vote, yes, we like how the roads are being done, or no, we don't in the state of Florida. Do you like this as a reform idea? Do you think FDOT needs reform? You know, you're very connected to all of these issues. What do you think?
Yeah, so having we used to work at DOT in the executive office, and I have a good relationship with both Secretary Tebow and Secretary Gaynor, our district secretary, and running transportation policy every year in the House. I would say no. If you don't like how FDOT is operating, the person you get to go hold accountable is the governor. And if you don't like how FDOT's operating, you can go hold me accountable, go hold your state senator accountable, go hold any number of elected officials who sign off on the budget or execute on policy accountable. I've yet to have a FDOT issue come across my desk that FDOT hasn't resolved for my constituents who brought it to me. So I don't think that there's necessarily a wholesale change that needs to happen to make FDOT more responsive. If you have an FDOT issue, you can reach out, and they're not being responsive to you, you can reach out to me. Since I sign off on their budget, they're motivated to make me happy, I think, sometimes. So if they're not responding to you, reach out to your elected officials who are responsible for the same infrastructure and hold us accountable in the process.
Well, I think that, the frustration by the citizens is, and you know this, okay, they look at Three Mile Bridge and they look at both the delay in the original construction and the obvious problems with the rebuild. They look at Nine Mile, they look at US 29, they look at Avalon, and they think, every time over and over and over again, this stuff never seems to be on budget, on time, the way it's supposed to be. How do we gain more accountability to them? You say you can get responsiveness, but I mean, it's always like this, or at least that's the perception. That's why I raised the question of making them accountable. If we're going to have a Secretary of Agriculture who oversees gas pumps and concealed carry permits, why not give us a clean, this person's responsible for the roads, we use the roads every day, we can vote or not vote on them?
Well, that's why my approach is why I focus on infrastructure, why I talk about infrastructure nonstop. I host town halls on it, and I'm willing to do that constituent work because I think we have elected officials who are far too focused on the minutia, on nominal wins, and they're not focused on the core governmental responsibilities that they take on when they get in certain positions. So, that's on me. If you're not happy with infrastructure in House District 2, contact me and I'll work on it. And we'll make sure DOT is as responsive as it can possibly be. Now, I can't control the weather, and I obviously can't control the timeline on $500 million bridge. And unfortunately, I wasn't in charge of supervising securing barges before Hurricane Sally, but that's obviously something I've taken responsibility for, and I'll continue working to make sure that we're as responsive and efficient as possible.
And I will give you credit based on both your background and what I know about what you do effectively right now. As much as any state legislator can do, you have done. But that's the ultimate question, is whether the maxing out of the abilities of a state legislator is adequate to get FDOT where it should be. But I certainly appreciate the work that has been done, and I definitely appreciate the contrasting perspective. I always like to let people hear different views. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2. Alex, thanks so much for the time, as always. Have a good week off, and then we'll talk to you next week when session begins.
Thanks, Andrew.